Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today.
I should have ridden the bike today.
It is glorious outside. And how about Easter Sunday? I mean, it was just unreal here.
Even when it's gloomy and rainy on Easter Sunday, it's so beautiful.
That's true. But it was extra special this year to be able to be outside and run around.
And welcome home to all the new Catholics.
That's true. Yes. Welcome and welcome today. Now, let's see. What do we have today?
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we'll talk with Super Bowl champ, author, and all-around great guy Matt Burke about the big award he's receiving from Relevant Radio, his new book, and living his faith in the public arena.
And find out about the upcoming Siena Symposium Conference titled Woman as Prophet and Servant of Truth. We'll speak with author Mary Eberstadt about her keynote topic, How the West Really Lost God.
Plus, we'll talk with a local man preparing for ordination to the priesthood about his vocation story.
And hear about a local celebration of the canonization of Pope John Paul II and John Paul XXIII.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
Hi, Joe.
Are you enjoying the gorgeous weather?
Well, I am, and if my voice sounds a little hoarse today, I was enjoying our Minnesota Wild last night.
That's right. Quite the win.
The game they had, yes.
Well, the Catholic Spirit just came out. The April 24th issue is out. What's in it?
Well, we had some news this week related to the release of depositions given by Archbishop Nienstedt and a priest of the Archdiocese that were given earlier this month in a civil case pending in Ramsey County District Court. You know, there's been a good amount of media coverage of this week, and people should know that in both cases, the full depositions, the text, and the video of each can be found on the Archdiocese website at archsbm.org. You know, sometimes these news reports only give you snippets of
half the story.
Here you can see the whole thing for yourself.
Great.
But we also have a great story in this week's issue. We all remember the story of Zach Sobiak, the Minnesota teen who battled that rare form of cancer and passed away about a year ago.
Right.
He touched a lot of lives with his music and had a very popular song called Clouds. And Zach's mom, Laura, has just finished a book about journeying with her son and the rest of the family through his illness and his death. And the book is titled Fly a Little Higher, How God Answered a Mom's Small Prayer in a Big Way.
Wow.
And it's really a story about, God's grace and how he helped them through this whole ordeal. And this is one way Laura can share that with the world through this book. And she has such a strong devotion to the Blessed Mother. That's what always strikes me about her story in particular. We've interviewed her before, and how she identifies with what the Blessed Mother went through with Jesus. And the book is a reflection really on suffering and hope, Christian hope. You know, how do you have all of this and get through all of this in the midst of all this suffering? And how do you trust God? And I think from the time Zach's doctors found the tumor, his mom, you know, she knew God was asking him, asking her to trust him, and although it was a very difficult thing, she said yes. And in fact, did so many great things, and those who loved him are doing many great things on his behalf right now. There's a fund in his honor that's designed to help others diagnosed with the same form of cancer, and it's raised about $750,000 so far. So,
wow.
Laura's going to have a book signing coming up on Sunday, May 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Mall of America Rotunda.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there's going to be some musical guests there who are going to play Clouds along with some other songs, so people should not miss that one.
Sounds like a nice celebration of his life.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what about this St. Thomas Academy student?
Yeah, we always try to profile some great things that youth and young adults are doing, and Andrew Floater is a junior at St. Thomas Academy, and he's working to raise, this is an ambitious goal, $55 million
for
the Salvation Army.
And how? Yeah.
Well, he and his family started this organization they call Kids to the Rescue.
Uh-huh.
And it started after the 2005 Hurricane Katrina when it hit the Gulf Coast.
Uh-huh.
And what the $55 million is based on is they're trying to get $1 for every student in the United States.
Okay.
Come up to about $55 million. And the Salvation Army was kind of open to this project that they were doing. So that's how they got hooked up with the Salvation Army. And they've done all kinds of things to raise money. They had something called the Send Love Campaign. And that's where they challenge students to give a dollar during their classroom Valentine's Day parties. And Andrew, this year, he worked with Convent of the Visitation School in Mendota Heights, and they made 500 Valentines for kids at Mary's Place and Sharing and Caring Hands in Minneapolis. And
great ministries.
Yes, and also for the veterans at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system home. So, you know, they're doing some wonderful things, and, you know, it's not just about money. They also make Easter baskets and collect, you know, necessities for families and homeless shelters and do some other work. So if people want to find out more about this great organization, they can go to the website. It's kidstotherescue.org.
Great. Now, what about the Rediscover section?
Yeah, this week, you know, as we've been focusing on prayer all year, we're focusing on mealtime prayers this week. And we have a nice profile on a family, Justin and Lynette Stroh, they're members of Divine Mercy in Faribault, who talk about just the importance of praying before meals at home. And I think which something that's key to all this, in public as well. Now, I don't know if a lot of us do that.
Right.
We pray at home, but sometimes, you know, we're out at a restaurant or out somewhere, and maybe that is not something we're doing.
Skipped,
but
yeah.
The Stroh family talks about just the real importance of doing that, to be consistent and be thankful for everything God gives us, but also how it can be a public witness.
Witness,
when you're
right.
Out. And, you know, they've had people come up to them and, you know, take notice of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that something you guys are accustomed to doing when you're out and out in a restaurant and praying before meals?
Praying publicly, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I have to say, we don't do that all the time, but I think it's a great idea to start and try and remember to do that, especially when you're in a large group. It can be a very, very obvious witness and a good opportunity to do so.
Right, and not a very easy thing when you're in a big group.
Right.
They talk about that. They've had an experience with that, and just the worthwhileness of making sure that you are consistent in your prayer life, and really what a witness it can provide for others.
Got just a few seconds left. You have in the April 24th issue a preview of the Rediscover Catholic celebration this fall?
Yep, I would just say folks can find out about some of the speakers that are going to be coming there, some really good ones.
Those
Father
have just...
Dave Dwyer, Father Stan Fortuna.
Great.
Oh, I love Father Stan.
Yes, and Scott Hahn and some others as well. But registration is going to be opening May 1st for the event October 3rd and 4th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. So go to the Rediscover website, rediscover-faith.org, and you can find out more about how to register and more about some of these great speakers that are coming.
Joe, thanks for joining us again this morning.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. And you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour.
And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
From now until ordinations to the priesthood on May 31st at the Cathedral of St. Paul, we're featuring interviews with local seminarians.
And today we are joined by Transitional Deacon Marcus Millis, a seminarian in formation for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis at the St. Paul Seminary. Thank you for joining us today, Deacon Marcus.
Thank you, Corey.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family growing up, a little background, if you would.
Yes, I'm the fourth of 12.
Oh, wow.
Six boys in my family and six girls.
Well, that worked out nice and even.
Yeah, my parents planned it that way.
Any other priestly or religious vocations in your family then, as long as you have that many?
Not yet.
Okay.
But my brother was in seminary for a couple years. Yep.
And I heard they all start with M.
Yes, it's the Millis family, and so my siblings, I go through the list. It's Melissa, Mindy, Mitch, Marcus, Matthew, Monica, Martin, Maggie, Marie, Marianne, Mickey, and Marshall.
Oh my gosh. You guys are like half the Dugards or whatever their name is.
I'll bet you you all get M&Ms in your Easter basket.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your discernment story. What were some of the pivotal moments in discerning your call to the priesthood?
Yeah, I think the first discernment just came from the witness of joyful priests at Epiphany Parish, where I grew up, and I always saw them as joyful men, heroes, who really loved what they were doing, and that led me to discern, is this something I want to do? And even in Catholic grade school, thinking about it, and into high school as well.
Okay, and now tell me exactly, what is a transitional deacon?
A transitional deacon, just like a permanent deacon, he's ordained to serve, and at the word and charitable activities. So, word, he can proclaim the gospel,
okay,
and preach, and also get involved in a more committed way. So, he's committed to service. And the difference between a transitional and permanent: transitional deacon takes the vow at his deacon ordination of celibacy.
Okay.
And then he continues on toward priesthood, whereas the permanent deacon doesn't take that vow. It takes all the other vows,
mm-hmm.
But he stays a deacon. So that's the transition from being a deacon
to
a priest.
So. Okay.
Now, so if we looked up transitional deacon in the dictionary, we'd find a picture of you.
For now, yes. Yeah.
Okay. For now.
For now.
Until May 31st, yeah.
Until May 31st.
So. All right. You and five other men will be ordained to the priesthood on May 31st at the Cathedral of St. Paul. What do you look forward to as a priest?
What I look forward to most is just being a part of people's lives and bringing Christ through all the different activities, different sacraments, matrimony, communion, anointing of the sick, just bringing Christ's light into each aspect of their life. And that's what I really look forward to. So it's not any one thing. It's the sacraments and being able to bring Christ to their lives.
Let me ask something even more basic. What's good today in your mind and heart about being Catholic in this world?
We have the opportunity, the chance, to show forth love and bring that personal connection that I think our culture is longing for with Facebook and just this wanting to get outside of ourselves, but the computer doesn't ultimately do that. And
so many distractions.
So many distractions. It's not that personal encounter that we can bring. And in the Catholic way, it's through the sacraments. It's something tangible, and that's what's beautiful. We have this huge opportunity. It's this gift that God has given us. So I just see that as number one, is bring that personal element of Jesus Christ in and through the church, and people are hungry for it. So.
Now, your parents must be so proud of you. Are they just ecstatic or excited that you've chosen this and that you're almost there?
Yes, they're too excited almost. No. Yes, they're very proud of me. So.
Great.
We have a real church of smells and bells, I like to say. There are so many things that are directly related to the senses in our faith.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Deacon Marcus Maless, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we look forward to your priesthood. And I know you're looking forward to it too, and I'm sure all of your classmates and all of
siblings,
your soon to be brother priests are looking forward to you joining the flock too.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Corey.
Well, thank you, Deacon Marcus. Make plans now to attend the ordination to the priesthood on May 31st, 10 a.m. That'll be at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Consider attending as a family.
And straight ahead on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with influential author Mary Eberstadt, and we'll find out how you can hear her speak when she comes to town next month.
And coming up a little later in the show, we'll talk with 2013 Super Bowl champ, dedicated Catholic husband and father Matt Burke. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
I believe in a blessing I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And, I think we are very blessed here in the Twin Cities to have so many opportunities to learn about the faith and engage in really thought-provoking discussion about church teaching and how it applies to our lives.
Well, one example, the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture, based at the University of St. Thomas, works to promote a deeper understanding of the role of women in our society and how men and women can work together to build up the body of Christ and establish a culture of life.
The Siena Symposium is hosting a conference on woman as prophet and servant of truth coming up on May 3rd, and the keynote speaker at that conference is influential author and Ethics and Public Policy Center Senior Fellow Mary Eberstadt. And thank you, Mary, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Paul and Corey, for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, which is based in Washington, D.C.
Well, the Ethics and Public Policy Center is a wonderful, small think tank, which is dedicated to the idea that there is such a thing as Western civilization.
Uh-huh.
We sometimes wonder, don't we?
Which is a controversial idea in some places,
yeah.
As you know.
Uh-huh.
And that Christianity has been a critical building block of that civilization. So it is a place that leaves us free to explore ideas based on those foundations.
Now, you've written several influential books about American society, culture, religion, philosophy. Latest one is called How the West Really Lost God, and that's the topic of your keynote address. Can you give us a little synopsis?
Yes, thank you. And let me say I'm really looking forward to coming out, too. Well, How the West Really Lost God is about the great puzzle of why people stop going to church. To put it into plain English, that's what the book is about, because we know if we look at Western Europe, if we look at the United States today, we see a fall off in Christian attendance across the denominations. And ever since the Enlightenment, there's been one explanation for this phenomenon, which is, well, Christianity is just a bag of superstitious tricks, and as people get more educated and more enlightened, they will realize this, and they'll come to their senses, and they'll stop going to church. I'm using shorthand for an idea that has been handed down by some of the intellectual giants of the modern age. In other words, there is this prevailing notion that church is something that sort of poorer and less educated people do.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the book, How the West Really Lost God, I take a very close look at that. I look at socioeconomic data, I look at history, and the bottom line is that this stereotype is not correct. It's not the case that people stop going to church because they get more educated. As a matter of fact, more educated people in the United States are more likely to be found in church.
Okay.
That's just one of the findings that, surprises people, but it's true. So if that's not what secularization is about, what is it about? And that's what I try to get into in the book. I explore what I think is a a different way of looking at this, and the essential link here is the link to the family. The argument of the book is that people didn't stop going to church across the Western world because they got smarter or materially better off. They stopped going to church because of the changes in family formation, the changes in the family pattern. The family, if it's fractured, leads to the fracturing of the churches, and this is the argument of the book.
Okay. Now, we all know personally people who provide, microcosmic examples of how the decline of value placed on family goes hand in hand with the decline of the role and the faith in their lives. And obviously, this can lead to devastating circumstances for children in particular. What can we personally do to help people we know see the true and lasting and essential value of, like you said, of faith and family?
Well, you know, we are in a situation where we are so broken that it's very hard, as you can see from the debate over same-sex marriage, for example, It's very hard to take some things head-on and say, look, this is what the church teaches. It doesn't mean the teachings are wrong. It just means that certain things are very hard to take on in a world where Christianity has diminished as a force in the public square. So what can we do? Well, I'm really interested to hear, especially when I speak on campuses, over and over, people come up to talk afterwards and they say, you know, what brought me into the church was the example of my next door neighbor or the example of this family I knew. And I hear over and over from kids from secular backgrounds who have since become Christian, whether Protestant or Catholic, and they always point to an example of a family that they just wanted to be like mm-hmm. that. So what I'm saying is never underestimate the power of example.
Sure.
I think the power of example might sound like an easy thing to say. We all know it's not an easy thing to live.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, is more likely to draw people in during an age like ours, a secularizing age, because it draws them into beauty and harmony in a way that they often don't see if they've been living a secular life. So there is that. Always be aware that people are looking to you and that you never know what effect you have on them.
Right.
Now, on the other side of the coin, do you think that part of the problem is that as a society, well, I'm tempted to say we've become too polite, but I think what I really mean is we've become too politically correct. We don't want to talk about what the church really teaches because it's tough.
Well, I think that's true, Paul. It's getting worse. In the United Kingdom right now, in Great Britain, you can be put in jail for reading the Bible aloud on the street.
Yep.
We are not that badly off. And I don't like to be a pessimist about things,
right.
But there's no denying that things that were perfectly unobjectionable just a few years ago have become toxic
right.
in the public square. I think things have gone so far in that direction that there will be a correction. I don't think things are just going to keep getting worse and worse and that Christians will be stigmatized more and more. There are too many Christians, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a little pushback now with people saying, hey, this new intolerance has gone too far. So I try to be an optimist. I'm hoping that next year will be better than this year that way. But you're right. I mean, the bottom line is, ever since the sexual revolution, there has been a head-on collision between what traditional Christianity teaches and the way that a lot of people want to live. This is the head-on collision that we keep seeing over and over again. I don't think anyone understood when the pill was first approved how dramatic and worldwide the fallout would be.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what we see all around us.
Paul VI was really prophetic in Humanae Vitae, wasn't he?
Humanae Vitae, I was saying, was the most prophetic document of the last 50 years, and it is also probably the most globally reviled document because people didn't want to hear and don't want to hear the truth that it contains. But the primary truth is that there would be a whole new dissension sowed into human life if contraception became widely available and destigmatized. And we see these consequences all around us.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that contraception would be good for families. Instead, we see family breakup on a scale that humanity never saw before. And that's just one example of the kind of fallout that the document talks about.
Mary Eberstadt, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's fascinating visiting with you. I hope we can have you back again soon.
Oh, thank you very much, Paul and Corey. I'm looking forward to Minnesota.
And you're coming at the right time of year, I'll tell you. The weather's just turning gorgeous. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Here are some of the details now on the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture Conference on Saturday, May 3rd. Free and open to the public. Conference begins at 8:30 a.m. on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus.
And again, Mary Eberstadt gives the keynote address on how the West really lost God at 7:30 p.m. in the Owen Science Building, the 3M Auditorium. And for more details, see our show page, and we've set up links there for more information.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question. This week, many Catholics around the world are talking about the canonizations of Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd, which happens this Sunday.
And this week, we ask people at Holy Cross Parish and Pope John Paul II Catholic School in Northeast Minneapolis, what is your favorite memory of Pope John Paul II? And here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Maria, and one of my favorite things about Pope John Paul is that he was special, but he tried to tell you that you were just the same as he was. You just had to find it inside of you and let it spring into a beautiful thing. Just like he had found his, he was helping you. He was trying to teach you that you can be amazing and you can do what Jesus wanted you to do. And that's what I loved.
Hello, my name is Vincent, and one of my memories of Pope John Paul II are that he was humble, and he really acted like he was even with everybody else. The smallest kid in the crowd, he'd come and bring him to where he was sitting. And he also had a lot of youth groups, and he went everywhere. He went all around the world to help people, and that's really what I think about him.
My name is Jan, and my best memory of Pope John Paul II is when our school became Pope John Paul II. That was 11 years ago, and 11 years ago they said this school was going to close. We're still here. And we strongly attribute it to his prayers. And one of the biggest memories of that day was we had Cardinal Laghi, the Pope's right-hand man, say Mass for us, and he brought us a signed picture of the Pope. And he said, and I want you to know that the Pope does not sign pictures anymore, I do. He said, but he signed this one. So we have a signed picture from Pope John Paul II, which is very special to us. And I know that he's the reason we're still here. And he knows we need to be here.
My name is Janice, and I kind of have two favorite memories of the Pope that run into each other. The first was when he was elected pontiff, because at Holy Cross, it's a Polish parish, and people were so excited that the unbelievable happened, that a man from Poland was chosen to be the Pope. So one of our families even made buttons that said, the Pope is a Polish boy. It was the Wallenik family. And it was just an internal celebration that this could possibly happen. And that rolls into the time five buses left Holy Cross and went to see the Holy Father in Des Moines, Iowa. They traveled 4 or 5 hours and waited and waited in these huge fields at the Living History Farm for the pontiff to arrive, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and after I don't remember how many hours we waited, but he was late, and when you finally saw the helicopter bringing him, it was just glorious. It's like, how many people in their lifetime get to see the Holy Father? So it was a wonderful, moving experience, and we enjoyed it very much.
My name is Halina, and my memory of Pope is from Poland, because I born exactly 13 miles from him. And I went to his home many, many times, and they were very kind people. And when I took First Communion, then later on I got confirmed, he was very strict in the church. with us children, because he said, if you kids don't know catechism, you got to wait for 7 years. And I tell you, we study. Everybody passed. And he confirmed us. I came from a very poor family. He came to me when he blessed me, and my tears are going. He said, why are you crying? What is your life? Why are you crying? I say, I would love to have a better life, a rich life. Put a hand on my head, and he crossed me. He said, child, you're going to have a better life in future. And here I am.
Okay, so coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, hear about a local celebration of the canonization of Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd.
And we'll talk with 2013 Super Bowl champ and this year's Relevant Radio Christ Brings Hope Award winner Matt Burke when we come right back.
This is Sarah Ennis with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. From 1920 to 1922, the Norwegian writer Sigrid Undset published the 3 volumes of her novel Kristin Lavransdatter. Set in the tumultuous but Catholic medieval Norway, the novel is a profound exploration of marriage and family, kinship and faith. Undset would convert to the Roman Catholic Church 3 years later in 1925. She returned to the richly Catholic culture of Norway before the Reformation in her novel, The Master of Hestviken, in which she explores the very human reality of unrepented sin. She received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1928.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the events tab at relevantradio.com.
That's why I can't overestimate the importance of Catholics learning what it is we believe so that we can, out of charity, help other people. You know, Sean, if we have the truth, if we have the fullness of truth in our Catholic teaching, why would we want to keep it to ourselves? You know, that's why I feel it's so important to keep doing what I'm doing, because I want to make sure people understand what it is we believe as Catholics, both for Catholics so they can embrace their faith, so they can share it with others, and for non-Catholics so they can one day accept the fullness of truth and come to realize that we have Jesus in the Eucharist. We have His... I'm getting excited here.
It's okay. That's all right.
I get fired up when I talk about this because we have so much, and you know that I want to share it with others because I want everybody to experience the peace and the wonderful graces that flow from the Catholic Church.
The timeless truths of our Catholic faith.
Shows that inspire.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
Holy God, we pray.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, every year, Relevant Radio honors a Catholic who works with extraordinary dedication to bring the good news and hope of Christ to others.
This year, Relevant Radio 1330 is honoring 2013 Super Bowl champ, author, husband, and father, Matt Burke. And today, Matt is joining us to talk about the award, his new book, and living his faith in the public arena. Good morning, and thanks for joining us, Matt.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys.
Tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing now. You're not playing football anymore, except in the backyard?
Yeah, exactly, except throwing the ball around with my kids. Yeah, I retired a little bit over a year ago, and it's a good thing I retired because I'm so busy now. I don't know how I'd do it all if I still played. Fortunate enough to do some consultant work for the NFL and the NFL players, which is I find to be very, very important and rewarding. As you mentioned, I did. I wrote a book. I am fortunate enough to do a lot of speaking to a lot of different groups, from big businesses and corporations to schools to churches, kind of the whole gamut. And and by the way, I am a husband and a father of 6. So
that's important.
Life is busy, and like I say, people would kill for my problems.
That's true. Now, you and your wife, Adriana, have 6 kids, like you said, so very busy. And obviously parenthood is such a blessing, but what's one of the greatest things you think that you receive, the greatest blessing you receive as being a father, or one of the huge, huge pluses?
You know, I think just the way that kids are, and kids have such a special place in Jesus' heart, and I mean, kids are so much in the moment, and mm-hmm. that's how we're supposed to live. Obviously, day to day, we can get caught up in the rat race and start worrying about things that really don't matter.
True.
And especially when I played football, I mean, things are you're on such a big stage, and they act like every game, every week is such a huge monumental deal.
Mm-hmm.
When you come home, maybe you have a bad day, a bad game. Bad day at work, whatever. You know, kids, they don't care. They're happy to see you. They're happy to see daddy. They want to throw the ball around. They want to jump on the trampoline. They want to show you their new trick, whatever that is.
They bring you back down.
They bring you back down. That kind of perspective and that kind of joy that they bring on a daily basis. You know, I like to try to keep things simple. And one of the simple goals I have for myself every day as a father is just try to have one moment with each one of my kids, just a minimum of one of those moments where you just for 5 seconds you look at them, you talk
right.
to them, and you don't think about anything else.
And that's all it takes is just a small moment to just be present with them, and you're so grateful.
Exactly, and I think especially in today's world with how connected and busy everything is,
mm-hmm.
it's more important than ever.
Now, you're very active in pro-life efforts, and you haven't shied away from being public about that. In fact, last year you stayed away from the traditional visit to the White House by the winning Super Bowl team because of the president's praise for Planned Parenthood. What can we do to grow the culture of life in this country?
Well, I think just stand up. Be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
What one of the most powerful things I've ever done is pray outside of Planned Parenthood, and sure, it took me probably years to kind of build up the courage to go actually do it, and once I did, it was such an amazing experience. I mean, I was overwhelmed with sadness, but also with hope that to be out there with fellow Catholics, praying the Rosary, and being, you know, standing out there, and certainly you get praise for doing it, and you get criticism.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I'll bet.
It's scary.
You know
I'm
what?
Sure.
I think we're just the people for the job. Somebody has to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And you know, boy, you look at our society and our culture, and we can. I'm sure we can all find things that are wrong or things we change, but. I go back to the words of Mother Teresa. I mean, if we want to change this culture, she said, if abortion is not a sin, then what is?
Mm-hmm.
And the right to life is just a basic thing that somehow a group of our society has talked themselves into something that's a good thing, and obviously it's not. So that's where my wife and I have been called. We've been pulled in that direction, and so that's where we spend a lot of our time and efforts.
Did you get a lot of flack from your teammates?
No, actually, I think that one of the common misconceptions about the NFL is that it's a godless place. It's actually quite the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, it's such an intense experience. I mean, every single day. There's no such thing as just a day. Every day you're fighting for your job. Every day is really important. It's the competition is unbelievable. So you know, guys get humbled real quick,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of get brought to their knees, literally and figuratively. And you really figure out that I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough to do this on my own. So every team I ever played on had a team chaplain. Most of the teams I played, I played for three Catholic head coaches. I always had Catholic mass night before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, I don't know what other place of work there is where there's daily Bible studies, that there's a chaplain there all the time if you just want to pop in and talk or you need some encouragement. And so it's a, to get back to your question, when I did go to the White House, a couple of days later, I saw all my teammates. We had our ring ceremony, and the response was overwhelmingly positive. A bunch of guys were coming up and even thanking me.
They supported
for
you.
Taking a stand, and I think even the ones that didn't respected my stance.
They understood.
And respected what I did, and so I really didn't try to make it about me. It was just something that I just felt like I had to do, and the guys understood that. So it was great.
Good for you. Well, and also you and management expert Rich Chapman published a book, like you said earlier this year, called "All Pro Wisdom: The 7 Choices That Lead to Greatness." And how originally did this book come about, and what do you hope that the readers walk away with after they've finished this book?
I hope they come away with a framework to live their lives, to obtain these things like confidence and passion and stability and power in their lives. It's 7 choices, really 7 questions that we ask the reader to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And it's told through football stories and some football language, but it's definitely not a football book.
Did you have a certain like target audience, or is it just wide open?
I guess we kind of did, but when you look at who enjoys the NFL, the fan base is
a pretty broad base, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, young, old, mm-hmm. white, black,
women, men.
Yeah, exactly. And what we found is that I guess when I was writing it, I was thinking I kept picturing high school, college, young adult male. Sort of, somebody kind of getting started on their way. But having the book been out for a couple months now, and the response we've got, it's been people, like you say, men, women, old, young. And what I've learned is that everybody, no matter the point in their life, is going through something,
mm-hmm.
something that they're struggling with, or they're frustrated with, or something that they need to, they're trying to improve. And that's what's been, I guess, interesting. I mean, we've even had an 82-year-old woman tell us how much the book helped her regain focus in her life. I mean,
wow.
who would have thought?
Yeah.
I guess the overall thing I take away from it is that so often we focus on our differences, but in the end, we're all a lot alike, and we're all dealing with something, no matter who we are or what we are.
It's life, yeah.
Now, you're being honored as the 3rd annual Christ Brings Hope Award winner at the Relevant Radio Banquet coming up May 15th. What does this award mean to you?
Boy, that's hard to explain or put into words. I think, I'm sure they could have picked somebody more deserving for the award, but I'm kind of glad they did. It's a great honor, and I think just at the end of the day, I'm very thankful and grateful that my parents raised me in the Catholic faith. I'm very proud to be Catholic, and hopefully, I think that this award will just encourage me to encourage others to live and grow in their faith. And obviously, I'm just like everybody else with the depth that Catholicism has, it's an ongoing journey. It's a never-ending journey, actually, until the end.
Right.
You're always growing and walking with God. So it's great encouragement for me, and obviously I'm deeply humble.
NFL great Matt Burke, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Here are the details now on the 3rd annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet to benefit Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it takes place the evening, like we said, of Thursday, May 15th, with social time beginning at 5:30 and dinner at 7 at the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel in Bloomington.
The MC for the evening is Father Francis Hoffman, better known as Father Rocky. Attendees will also meet Drew Mariani, Glenn Leverins, Father Rich Simon, Wendy Weiss, and Corey and I will be there, too.
We will. And our guest today, Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and 2013 Super Bowl champion, will be honored at the banquet with the Christ Brings Hope Award. And for more information and to register, visit our show page or call 612-643-4117. That's 612-643-4117. And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we will find out about a local celebration of the canonization of Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd.
Plus, we'll take a look at other Catholic events happening around town. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Hit the road. Revisit Highway 61. Zip line through the North Woods. Splash across the Mississippi headwaters. Blow a kiss in America's most romantic city. Post pics from the country's largest sculpture garden. Spot a herd of bison and climb the quartzite cliff. Then catch the sunset from a paddleboard on the chain of lakes. Check out exploreminnesota.com and discover everything you can find only in Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, what did the Pope say this week?
What did he say?
Well, in talking about the resurrection of Christ, he says, with the resurrection, all has been made new and fresh. All has been made new and fresh hope has been poured out upon our world. And he actually mentions the angel when he appears to the women at Jesus' tomb and says to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? And he talks about that warning and how it helps us to go outside of our sadness and to open ourselves to joy and to hope, which then remove the stones from the grave and push us to announce the good news to others.
And bringing it all down to earth, he adds, like the travelers on the road to Emmaus, we need to find renewed joy and hope by recognizing that the Lord is ever at our side.
Well, this Sunday, more than a million people from around the world are gathering in Rome to celebrate the canonizations of Pope John Paul II and John the 23rd.
And if you can't make it to the Eternal City for the big celebration, you can mark this special event in the City of Lakes. The Northeast Minneapolis Catholic community is preparing for a canonization celebration along with the rest of the Universal Church.
And joining us to tell us more about this exciting local celebration is Debbie King, who is principal of Pope John Paul II Catholic School in Minneapolis and one of the people organizing this local celebration. Thanks for joining us today, Debbie.
Oh, it's a joy to be able to talk about this wonderful event.
Well, tell us about your role with this canonization celebration committee.
Well, I served as the facilitator of the full committee. We had an energetic committee of about 13 people who've been busy working since January. And actually, once it was officially on the church's calendar, we had it on the school and parish's calendar long before January. But we had four essential goals of the community, with two saints being welcomed into the Universal Church. One was to unite our community in worship and fellowship, to celebrate the two new saints, to honor the Universal Church, and of course to give glory to God, because we know that both John Paul II and John the 23rd would want us focused solely on the Lord. There was a quote of John Paul II that grabbed me as our group went into its first meeting, and that was, in the church there are many different gifts. There is room for many different cultures and ways of doing things. And he actually said that with youth in New Orleans in 1987.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to mention. Northeast Minneapolis is just a United Nations.
Diverse.
And I mean that in a good way.
And that will be reflected in our celebration. We wanted, you know, with the only school named after Pope John Paul II and where our school is located on the campus of the parish that's a Polish apostolate in our archdiocese, we wanted to ensure that the celebration recognized both new saints because the church and our Catholic faith is more important in today's world than any of us as individuals, whether it's a parish or a school. We're stronger, united in one universal church, and the diversity of our churches and the history in Northeast just make this a wonderful opportunity to celebrate.
Now, tell me about this special choir that's leading the Holy Cross congregation in song at the 11 a.m. Mass.
Well, our canonization choir is made up of people of diverse ages and parishes and cultures and our school community. We have children from our school as young as third grade joining this group. We've got alumni of the school, members of the parish, members of parishes in Northeast. It's being directed by Patrice Finstead, who is one of the organists in the Holy Campus Parish at the St. Clement campus. And the organist is Chris Brand, who is the organist at the Holy Cross campus. So she helped us select music with the liturgy committee to make sure that it was liturgically appropriate to an Easter celebration, and she has been working with this canonization choir. We're going to sing preludes in Polish, Latin, and English.
Oh, cool.
The Mass itself, we wanted it to be congregational singing so that the congregational choir is not is pulling the people into the singing. We want the music to be prayer, not performance, on this Divine Mercy Sunday. So it's going to be beautiful. The one song during the Mass, we understand that Lord, When You Came to the Seashore, was a particular favorite of Pope John Paul II. At least that's what we've been told.
Okay.
So during communion, the first verse will be sung in Polish. Then the first verse will be sung again in Spanish. We have a large Ecuadorian community here in Northeast and in our school. And then the first verse will be sung again in English with all the remaining verses in English so that the congregation can join us.
Now, real quickly, we have just a few seconds left. Is there some way that either John Paul II or John the 23rd touched your life?
Well, you're asking me a question that is dear to my heart. Though I've learned more about John the 23rd, I was raised in a faithful Methodist family with a strong Christian faith. I was confirmed on Divine Mercy Sunday 6 years ago, so Divine Mercy is precious to me.
Uh-huh.
John Paul II was the first pope I paid attention to when I was in college, which was when he became pope. I've read him. I've especially read his Theology of the Body because I think it communicates a much-needed message. His connection with young people has been direct correlation with how I feel about the young people I work with. I think the fact that our school is named after him is so precious because I've always had a connection with him. And I think it would be for you to know that every morning prayer at our school has ended with, "Blessed John Paul II, pray for us."
Amen.
And on Monday, it will be.
It'll be a big amen.
Saint John Paul II.
Saint, right.
Yep.
Pray for us. Hallelujah.
So, Debbie King, principal of Pope John Paul II School in Northeast Minneapolis, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
God bless all of you, and happy Easter.
And to you, too. And here are the details on this local celebration of the canonization of Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd. It takes place this Sunday, April 27th, at the Church of Holy Cross, 1621 University Avenue Northeast in Minneapolis. This day of celebration begins with Mass at 11 a.m., followed by entertainment, food, and an opportunity to check out displays about these two great men. Everyone's welcome. That's this Sunday, Church Church of the Holy Cross, Northeast Minneapolis, beginning with Mass at 11 a.m.
Now, here's a look at a few other Catholic events happening around town. The Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women invites local Catholic women to their 82nd annual convention on April 30th and May 1st at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. Register online at archspm.org or call 651-291-4545. That's 651-291-4545.
And don't miss the St. Charles Borromeo Auction Gala on May 3rd, 6:30 to 11 p.m. This adult-only event features an evening of live music, hors d'oeuvres, desserts, cocktails, and beverages, plus games of chance, live music, and a silent auction. Tickets are $20 per person. For more information, call Tom, 612-787-1189. That's Tom at 612-787-1189. And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, we'll be checking out the top five best-selling Catholic authors at one local bookstore. This might give you some ideas for meaningful summer reading.
And hear from the mother of a teen who inspired millions. We'll have an excerpt from an interview from Laura Sobiak.
Plus, in No Ordinary Conversation, find out about a public show of your faith your whole family can take part in.
And we'll talk with a man preparing to be ordained to the priesthood about his vocation story.
That's the Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.